Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Secure Your Life. I am your host, Diamond Taylor. No, don't fret, don't cuss. Credit is a must. You're listening to Secure Your Life, real talk about real life, understanding the importance of credit and what it means to your financial future. If you are living in a financial nightmare right now, then this is definitely the show for you. We have a really, really hot topic. I want to talk to you all about, one, I hope all of you all that live in the United States that you took advantage of your right to vote. It is so important, especially with the economic times being as it is, that you exercise your right for your voice to be heard and let your elected officials work on your behalf. And those of you all who did not get a chance to vote or did not vote, shame on you. Too many people have died, bled, and cried for your right to exercise and have your voice be heard through the voting process. So those of you all who early voted, congrats, congrats. Those of you all who voted on Election Day, which is today, thank you so much for exercising your right for your voices to be heard and put in place the people that you want to represent you. No matter what party you represent, just taking advantage of the right to vote is most important. I think too many times we do not look at the privileges that we have as a right in our voting process is one of those ways in which we get our voices heard. So back to our show. Thank all of you all for joining me today on November 2nd. We have a great show for you. Like to recap what we talked about last couple of weeks about budgeting and trying to get our finances in order, especially with the holidays coming. A lot of us are feeling that financial crunch, considering the fact that a lot of people have been downsized, laid off, fired, or however you want to put it. We're all having to deal with some very tight wallets lately. Tonight's subject, hot topic right off the press. I got an email earlier, and somebody said, you must bring this to this show. We talked about this on another show last week on You Say It Like It Is, and I would like to bring the same topic to our financial show with Secure Your Life, because we're all going through so many hard times financially. What would you do if your mate took out credit in your name and you didn't know it, and they ran up a debt of $40,000? What would you do if you found out that your mate, significant other, whether it be ex or present, used your name, took out credit in your name, and ran up a sizable debt? I know, hot topic, right? So I'm going to open up the phone lines, and I'm also going to open up the chat room, and please join me. And if you just tuned in, you're listening to Secure Your Life, and our topic tonight is, what would you do if you found out that your mate opened up credit in your name and ran up $40,000 in debt with no way of paying it back? So whether it's $2 or $40,000, and they used your name, what would you do? Phone number is area code 347-884-9343. Again, that is area code 347-884-9343. And for those of you all who would like to join us in the chat room, please do so. The chat room is also open. And I see that we do have a call already on our hot topic of, what would you do if your mate took out credit in your name, you were not aware of it, and they ran up a sizable debt? Okay, 815, thank you for calling Secure Your Life. You're on the air.
Did Hi, my name is Ron. How are you doing this evening?
Hi, Ron. Did you vote?
Oh, yes, I did, and you.
I definitely did, definitely. There's no doubt. Of course I voted.
Okay. Oh, on the question.
On the question.
Okay, on the question. Well, first thing, if we were married, I think it's time for a divorce. And strongly,
I'm with you on that.
And strongly considering criminal charges. Can
you know what?
Under those conditions, can criminal charges be filed?
I believe that, yes, they can. If anybody uses credit in your name. But here's the thing, if it's joint credit, if you and your mate have a joint account, you and your husband or wife or significant other, you all have a joint account and they ran it up, I don't think that any criminal charges can be warranted in that aspect, because they do have a right to the credit line. So yeah, I don't think you can't charge them. You know, no criminal charges can be given to them if it's a joint account. But if someone has committed identity theft on you, whether it's someone you know or not, definitely. If someone is using your name to open up a line of credit and you find out about it, yes, you can definitely press charges against them.
Well, the scenario, I believe you had said that this account was opened without your knowledge.
That's right. What would you do if you found out your mate took out a credit card in your name and ran up a sizable debt?
Yeah, in this case, okay, following the scenario, then, it would be a joint account. It would be something. She started using my name. Is there any way you could, this could be put on her or him?
You know, I don't know. That is something that I think I would love to investigate, and anybody who does know that actually has an answer for Ron in the question of, if you find out that your mate did run up a sizable debt in your name, can that debt be transferred to the other party? I don't think so.
Well,
but that's just a best guess. If you have the answer to that,
I think if you took them to court and they were found guilty of that.
Well, here's the thing. That's the key right there, is to finding them actually guilty of it. I do know that it is definitely against the law to commit identity theft, and that is a form of identity theft. So I do know charges can be brought up against a person if they do commit identity theft. As far as transferring the debt, I don't think that they do that. I'm pretty sure if someone has the answer to that, that is definitely a good question, Ron. Please give us a call. The phone number is area code 347-884-9343. Again, that is area code 347-884-9343. And Ron's question is, if someone has committed identity theft on you and it's a mate or a significant other, can the debt be transferred to their name? I don't know. I really don't. That is a good question. I really don't know.
Because I'm thinking, what would be the difference if it's somebody you didn't know or somebody you do know, you know?
Well, if it's someone that you don't know, you have no way of knowing who it is. So it cannot be transferred. So how can you transfer something you don't know?
Well, let's say you found out who it was. Okay, let's say you found out who it was, and you had them brought up on charges of identity theft.
Right. Now, I think what happens at that point is once you can prove that the debt does not belong to you, then they have to remove the debt. You are not responsible for a debt that you did not put in place.
Mm-hmm.
So if you didn't charge it, they can't charge you. If you can prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that the debt does not belong to you.
Mm-hmm.
So that would definitely have to be dropped. The burden of proof at that point is on them, that you're the one who actually signed for that line of credit.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're just now joining us, you are listening to Secure Your Life, and our topic for this evening is, what would you do if you found out your mate took out a credit card in your name and ran up $40,000 in debt with no way to pay it back? Let's talk about it. I think that when I got the email, I was just, amazed that someone would do that. Not surprised, but just the point of someone being bold enough to open up a line of credit in your name and to charge up $40,000 of somebody that you know, least of all a husband or a wife, that's just ridiculous.
Right. Oh.
You know, completely and utterly ridiculous. And we're talking about people are hurting out here. So it's one thing to abuse your credit, but that's just downright, that's beyond abuse.
That's just evil.
Yeah, I mean, it really is, because when you think about it, first of all, we were talking about this weeks ago about how we don't talk to each other about the finances in a relationship in the first place. And with everybody going through, with the country, I should say, going through some financial hardship as a whole, to the breakdown of the relationship, already people are having a strain. But to make things, I should add insult to injury, if you will, by insulting the person that you're allegedly supposed to have a good, solid relationship with and you so-called, quote-unquote, love, to stab them in the back financially is like adding the nails to the coffin, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, it's all over.
I mean, I agree. I mean, that's definite grounds for divorce. 100%. 100%.
Well, tell the truth, I'm not certain of this, but I do believe there's a good chance you would be on better grounds if you were not married to the person.
Well, yeah, definitely. Because see, what happens when you marry? See, you have to remember, it's community property when you're married. Okay, so it's one of those, what's mine is mine. What's mine is yours, and what's yours is mine when you're married. So it's hard. You can't. It's hard to file charges against someone if you're married to them. But if you don't, of course, if you're not married to them, then you definitely can file charges. But they don't have a right to abuse your credit, no matter whether you know them or not. No one has a right to do that. So, I mean, the whole point is, why would someone be so evil as to do that? I don't know.
Yeah, that's a lot of money. $40,000, you're figuring up. At the absolute least, you could end up with, in the case of a married couple, it's half of it.
Well,
that's still a lot of money.
Yes, it is. I mean, and especially considering the fact, like I said, with the way that economic times are and the job market not being secure, to have someone just blatantly commit credit fraud, because that's basically what it is. You're committing a fraud. You're pretending to be someone else, and you're not them, and you're taking out a line of credit, which means which they are responsible for. So, you know, that's kind of a gut punch.
Oh, I'll tell you something kind of adds to that. Okay, like in the event of, say, if a couple, say you had a prenuptial agreement, and the part of the prenup was that, any accounts we have to sign on jointly.
I'm listening. Your question.
How would that affect it? Okay, let's say here's a smart couple. They got a prenuptial agreement. Part of the prenuptial agreement is that, as far as, say, new charge accounts are concerned, both parties have to sign.
Okay.
Now, you've got this thing that says both parties have to sign on a prenup, but then all of a sudden, boom, here's an account that has been opened up as Mrs. John Jones, and Mr. and Mrs. John Jones, and the prenup says you can't do that. I wonder wouldn't that have some kind of effect to the positive for the person that has been had this dirty trick played on him?
An attorney would definitely have to, get better clarification on what happens with that. But if the prenuptial agreement, to my understanding, is breached in any way, then that would be grounds for termination of the marriage. As to what kind of financial restitution the other party might have, I guess that would have to be stated in the prenuptial agreement.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, see, the prenuptial agreement is like a safeguard of what you already have. Now, what you acquire in the marriage is community property.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, say, for instance, if you already had $2 million prior to you getting married to this person, then they can't come and claim your money if the marriage is dissolved.
Mm-hmm.
Now, anything that is beyond what you brought in, anything that is acquired after you all are married is considered to be community property.
That could be a way of even getting around the community property if it was written into the prenuptial agreement properly.
Well, here's the thing. You have to understand that, one, lifestyle, you're going to be awarded based on the lifestyle that you all are leading. So if the person doesn't, okay, if you marry someone and they don't have as many assets as you, and for whatever reason, you all, prior to you all getting married, for whatever reason, you all decide to dissolve the marriage, if a prenuptial agreement was in place and determined, depending on the terms of the prenuptial agreement, will state who gets what. But it safeguards what you had prior to the marriage. See, it's hard to say, you know, it's hard to say that a lawyer would have to go in and speak further into this, but it is my understanding that community property does play, because if you as the breadwinner, say for instance you were the one that was financially savvy or wealthy in the relationship, you had your spouse sign a prenuptial agreement, and for whatever reason the marriage is going to dissolve. If this person was not working, if they were a homemaker, they're used to a particular type of lifestyle. So unless stated in the prenuptial agreement that the person is not entitled to anything, I don't think a judge would even award that, because you have presented a particular lifestyle for this person. So you will probably end up paying some type of alimony and child support if you all have children.
Okay. Now, suppose in a case, in a situation where you have an older person that is retired from his job. Okay, so his spouse is an older person.
Okay.
Okay, she's in his age group. So now you are dealing with dependent children.
Right.
So what would happen in that case?
It would depend on what the terms of the prenuptial agreement.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was saying in the first place about.
Well, and then also you have to think about it. If either party comes in with a sizable asset, it protects the asset, but anything that is acquired after and beyond that is still community property.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so say for instance you had $2 million
mm-hmm.
prior to you getting married.
Okay.
And then you and your wife get together, and for whatever reason, during this marriage, you all both have acquired an extra $1 million. So your net worth collectively is $3 million.
Mm-hmm.
This is just an example. Okay, so the marriage dissolves. And according to the prenuptial agreement, you came in with your $2 million and she came in with whatever she had, but you all stated in the prenuptial agreement that you're safeguarding your assets and she safeguarded her assets. But you all collectively together made this extra $1 million. That's community property.
Oh, so that could be split 50-50.
Right. It is my understanding. Like I said, I am not a lawyer, so you'd have to definitely contact an attorney for further information.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, you know, it depends. It really does depend. And then sometimes someone in the chat room said prenups can be challenged in court. It's completely determined by whatever is written in the prenuptial agreement. And even before you sign one, I suggested both parties sit down with an attorney and discuss the terms. Because this is a contract between the two people.
Yeah, the terms are the terms. Once they're agreed upon, that's it.
Well, yes and then no. I mean, just like a will can be challenged. So anything can be challenged in court.
That doesn't necessarily mean
that the person is going to, whoever is challenging it, doesn't mean that the judge is going to go in their favor. But with a prenuptial agreement, you two are both agreeing to those terms. Now,
if both parties agree to the terms, Okay, then okay, the party decides to dissolve the relationship, the marriage, and one party suddenly decides, okay, well, I don't want to go by these terms anymore. What do you mean you don't want to go by these terms anymore? You've already signed on the line.
Right.
Terms.
Right. I think that they'll have a really hard time, to be honest with you. I think they'll have a hard time to challenge that. And that's why I say I encourage everyone to definitely seek legal advice when it comes to that.
Mm-hmm.
Even with a prenuptial agreement, you need to make sure that you understand clearly what the terms are saying. You know, definitely. And even with, say, for instance, let's go back to our topic for the evening about your mate opening up a line of credit or even just spending money that you were unaware. Because the other question that for the evening that I was going to talk about too was finding out what's on your credit report that your spouse may have put something on there, and you're unaware because now your credit has been joined. So we'll talk about that in a few seconds. But if you just joined us, you're listening to Secure Your Life, where we're having a in-depth conversation about what would you do if you found out your mate took out credit in your name and ran up a sizable debt. I got an email, and the email said that the person ran up $40,000 in debt and they don't have any way to pay it back. If you have any comments or questions about it, or you have something that you would like to talk about that has happened to you with someone using your name, or you've been a victim of identity theft in any way, please give us a call at 347-884-9343. Again, that is area code 347-884-9343, or you can join us in the chat room. We would love to hear your comment and or question. And again, you're listening to Secure Your Life. And let me read a little bit of this email that I received this week, and then I want your views on it. It says here that this person just checked their credit report and found out that their husband had ran up $18,000 on one of their cards when they only thought that they owed $400.
Ooh.
And right, there was $1,800 that was ran up by her husband on one of the cards when she was only aware that they only owed $400. When she confronted him, he did admit to it, but now what? And how are they going to pay this back was the question. How do they get there? How do they survive this particular financial pitfall, if you will? When I read that, I said, ouch. You know, here it is. You're thinking you all have joint credit lines of credit, and the person, your husband and or wife, in this case, it was the husband who spent them, you know, who charged up $18,000 on one of their cards.
Was $18,000 or $1,800?
It's $18,000.
Woo!
He charged $18,000 on one of the cards.
Wow.
And she only thought that they owed only $400. And she's trying to get their finances together. Because they're closing into retirement age, so that she's trying to get all of their finances together. What do you do? So, yes, I was. That's what I said. I was like, wow. Very bad situation. One here again, like I said, is the lines of communication not being open between these two. And a lot of times that happens more often than not, where one person is more privy to what's going on financially in the family than the other person. You may have one person that's a spendthrift and the other one who is a saver and is actually thinking about you all's financial future. That's a real big, huge mess. they have a huge mess on their hands, especially if you're trying to get out of debt. You got one person trying to get out of debt and one person is constantly putting you in debt. So I would call this financial infidelity. I think we talked about that on the other show. You're actually cheating yourself. You're cheating your spouse and you're cheating your financial future when you do crazy stuff like that. That's not cool at all to take advantage of of your financial union, because when you marry someone, you all are connected on all levels, especially financially, when you talk about your future. And the first things you need to do to get out of the mess, and we talked about, you know, about the mess, and let's talk about how to get out of it. The first thing you need to do is find out exactly how much is owed. So you need to pull your credit report. You all are given an opportunity to get a free credit report by all three credit agencies. I encourage you to do this. It is free. You get one free credit report a year. So you need to go to the website. You can go to TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian and get your free credit report. First and foremost, you need to do that because you can't fix it if you don't know what's on it. So that's the first thing. And then, you need to pull his and yours. So not just, you need to know what's on yours, but you also need to know what's on your spouse's or significant other. Because that way you can see what credit has been joined. Because you'd be surprised. A lot of that stuff might not necessarily be all yours or even his for that matter. If you're named after someone, say for instance you're the second or junior or even the third or the fourth in your family name, same name, sometimes the credit is merged for whatever reason. So your credit, what's on your credit report might not necessarily belong to you. So that's another reason why you need to pull your credit. You need to pull that credit report. That is vitally important that you do that. And once you do that and you actually have a pen in hand or a highlighter in hand and actually go line for line to make sure what's on there and how much you owe, then you need to sit down and figure out a feasible way, one, to put yourselves on a budget. The person who abused the credit, I would definitely confiscate their credit cards. And I know that may sound juvenile, but it's necessary. If the person is abusing it, then they shouldn't use it. Wouldn't you agree, Ron?
Oh, definitely.
Is
there any way you can get in touch with the credit card people and tell them and inform them that this person cannot no longer use a card? Or how does that work?
That is a good question. I don't know how that would work. If I'm not mistaken, and like I said, I'm not a professional in regards to each individual credit company. But I'm pretty sure that you can possibly, I know with your children you can do this. So you might be able to do this with your mate. You can set a limit to how much credit they can use. And maybe what you can do, because we do need, they do need to, for whatever emergency purposes, be able to utilize money that is on a credit card, I would suggest that you get them a secured card or get them a Visa gift card, put a certain amount on it, and that's it in case of emergency. That's what I would do, just like you would do with your children if they were away at college or whatever. You want to make sure that they do have that. But I'm pretty sure someone in the chat room said that you can ask the lender about that. You can call the lender and ask them about your rights to using the card.
I don't know if they're still doing it. See, like your department stores, like Bergner's and Sears, if you had an account in your and your spouse's name, and your spouse was abusing your credit, you could get in touch with, say, Bergner's and say, well, okay, this person can no longer use the card. I want them taken off.
Yes, you know, you can do that. You can still do that. You can revoke another person's authorized.
Like your Chase MasterCard or something like that also.
Right. You can revoke an authorized user. You can definitely revoke an authorized user. Because if you're the primary person on the card
mm-hmm.
and they're the secondary, which means they're just an authorized user, you can call the credit card company and tell them that you only want your card to be accessible. So that's a definite. You can definitely do that.
Oh, so the card would definitely say that if Mr. Jones, only Mr. Jones can use this card now.
Correct. And you can have it where they're no longer an authorized user.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, you know, so one, in both of the scenarios tonight that I read to you, you all definitely need some marriage counseling if you're not going to divorce court. Secondly, you need some financial counseling.
Oh, yeah.
And that person definitely needs to go to what I would call a financial rehab or credit rehab. You know, they need some serious re-education or education on the use of credit. They need to definitely meet with a credit counselor and a financial advisor and actually get some education on behind their belt to understand what exactly they did and how devastating it was to the present, to you all's present financial status and your financial future.
I would really like to know what that person purchase, it was a $40,000 bill.
Was overall. So this was collective. They ran up several cards.
Oh, boy. Oh, he must have maxed a lot of cards.
correct. And, I mean, someone said earlier that they would definitely be going to jail because they wouldn't live to tell about it. That is a bit extreme, but I do understand what you're saying. I don't condone it, but I do understand that. And come to find out, the person was using it. You know, who ran up that large amount of debt also had gambling problems. So that was part of it. Yeah, part of the problem. They actually did have a gambling problem. You never know, and you don't know what you're getting. And someone in the chat room said it earlier that marriage is like a crapshoot. And it really is, because you don't know what you're getting before you get it. But that's why open communication is so important, especially when you're talking about your financial future. And, you know, your financial status as right now, in the present, you need to talk to people. You need to talk to them about their ideas and their thoughts in regards to money, about finances, and about credit, and when to use it and how never to abuse it. So you definitely have to have – you cannot be a passenger when it comes to your finances. You cannot afford to be the passenger and have someone else in the driving seat when it comes to your finances and in your future. You just can't do it. You need to be abreast of everything that's going on so that you do not become a victim. And not making a choice and not taking an active role is still a decision. So you just don't have any control over the decision. So you need to make sure that you remain in control over your decision. And if you're in a relationship, you cannot let the other person take the full rings and you not know what's going on. Because what they do, even if it's just on their credit, what they do still affects you. It 100% affects you. So, and someone in the chat room says, don't get married, just shack up. That doesn't help you in either, because in some states, they still have common law marriage. So shacking up is not the answer either.
If you get credit together, whether you're married or shacking up, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. That's right. If you have joint finances in any way, you're still held responsible. But if you just tuned in, you are listening to Secure Your Life, where we're talking about credit, where we're talking, and our hot topic tonight was, what would you do if you found out that your significant other, you opened up a line of credit in your name and actually went into $40,000 in debt and had no way to pay it back? What would you do? What would be your recourse or your plan of action? We also had another person that wrote in that said that they found out that their husband had charged $18,000 on the credit card. They were not aware of it. They only thought that they owed $400. And it wasn't until they checked the credit report that they found this out, how in debt they were. So I am encouraging all of you all to definitely check that out. You must know what is on your credit report.
And you need to have. This person, they're in hot for $18,000. You mean they're not getting any mail saying, hey, where's the money, a phone call?
Well, here's the thing. If you're paying your bill, but you're not paying, you know, if you're paying the minimum payment, you're making a payment every month, they're not going to call you.
So it could be kept undercover.
Right.
Regardless of the amount. $40,000, it really wouldn't matter.
It doesn't really matter what the amount is. The point and the problem is the fact that you all are not in communication about your finances.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm encouraging all of you all to pull your credit report. It's free. You get a free credit report from all three credit bureaus, and you can go to their website. You can go to Experian. It's www.experian.com and get a free credit report from them. Equifax, their website is www.equifax.com. And TransUnion is www.transunion.com. And I'm going to give you that one more time. Experian is www.experian.com. So that's www.experian.com. Equifax is www.equifax.com. So that's Equifax. You can get a free credit report from them. TransUnion is www.transunion.com. And that's TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian. And I encourage you all to go and get your free credit report, because you need to know what's on there. Because you might find out that you have indeed been a victim of identity theft. And it doesn't have to be from your mate or someone you know, but you need to know what's on there. Even if you think you have A1 credit, you still need to know. You need to make sure that everything that's on your credit report is accurate information. Because if it's not accurate, then you don't owe it. And they have to remove it. So you need to make sure that you know what's on there. You need to definitely make sure that they have the right contact information and all of your accounts are correct, the account numbers are correct, that your balances are correct, your leading balance and your current. And all of this information is important because if it's not, then it could be affecting your FICO score. So, and that could be preventing you from getting the car or house that you deserve. It also, believe it or not, your credit score and what's on your credit report can actually affect whether or not they hire you for a job. Did you know that, Ron?
Wow.
Yeah,
no,
they can actually, depending on, they have a right to pull your credit, depending on the type of job that you're trying to apply for. And they're not going to tell, they don't have to tell you why they're turning you down for the job when it comes to your credit. So 9 times out of 10, you won't know that that is the reason, but they can use that, your credit and your credit, you know, how you're dealing with your credit as a reason not to hire you. So you do need to stay on top of it, and you need to make sure that what's on there is accurate. So
that is definitely important. I didn't know it was that it went to those extremes, though.
Oh, well, yes. I mean, your credit can determine whether or not you get approved for a loan, for a car loan or to get a mortgage, but it also can affect whether or not you're able to rent an apartment, whether, you know, what your interest rates are going to be.
Well, I understood that part, but I didn't know about the employment though. That came as a surprise.
Yes, so you know, that's like I said, they are very stringent depending on what you are applying for. They can be very stringent because see, this is the reason why they're using your credit as a determining factor, or should I say, one of the factors of employment. It depends on the type of job that you are applying for. Now, what happens is this. If you are applying for employment and you're dealing with sensitive information or financial files of any sort or company trade secrets, if you are not financially savvy or solvent, you can be bought and sold by the competition. They're considering you a complete risk because they don't know whether or not you're in so much debt, they don't know whether or not you're going to steal from the company. So they're looking at how you spend, what you spend, and how much debt you're in as a determining factor depending on what you're applying for.
Well, that does make a lot of sense.
So, you know, if you're in a lot of debt, why would they, you know, if you're dealing with sensitive information of any sort, trade secrets, you're, you know, trying to work for an institution that deals with money in any way, they're going to look at that as you being a risk.
Mm-hmm.
Not only are you a credit risk, but you're an employment risk.
Wow. Yeah, bottom line,
they don't want to take on any extra losses.
Oh, that is understandable.
So, you know, you have to really look at the whole picture of it, and your credit is basically a report card. It speaks volumes about you when you're not there to speak. Now, is it an accurate account of your integrity? I would have to say no, because a lot of people, for whatever reason, they, like I said in previous shows before, you could have been excellent with your credit and been on top of your finances, and for whatever reason, you may find yourself in dire strait due to downsizing or whatever, health reasons, or now you're taking care of an ailing parent or child, and you have felt a financial shift. You lost a spouse to divorce or to death or whatever reason. So your finances have taken a shift. So that will cause you to go into some debt, and have some financial problems, and also make you use your credit other, you know, in other ways other than what you normally would use it for. So I don't think personally that it is a true testament of the way you utilize your finances. But unfortunately, you're not able to speak for yourself, whatever your circumstances might be. So these people are looking at your credit scores and your credit report as a testament of whether or not you are creditworthy, or whether or not you are a good risk factor for a particular job, depending on what you are applying for, or the particular loan, or whether or not you're able to pay it back. They're looking at, you know, your history, how long you've been on a job, you know, and that says, speaks volumes too, whether or not if you've been on a job for a short period of time, or you have had a lot of different jobs and you job hop, they look at that also on whether or not you are a credit risk.
Mm-hmm.
So, but for those of you all who need some really great tips, Secure Your Life is giving a credit repair class. It's 6 weeks long. It's a webinar. So, you know, it's a webinar class, and it also comes with all of the forms and books and very instructional, step-by-step instruction, guide, and reference tools on everything that you would possibly need to help get yourself out of this financial nightmare. So I encourage you to go to the website. That's www.secureyourlife.net. That is SecureYourLife.net. So that's SecureYourLife.net. Go to the website. There is a link there that you can find out about the classes that they offer. Don't delay, because, of course, the seats are filling up fast. And one, we're talking about your financial future here, so you do not want to delay. Put yourself first. It's important that you do that. Get yourself on a budget. They talk about that, especially with the holidays coming. You really need to be on top of what's going on with you. You cannot afford to be a passenger in your financial future. It's time for you to take the reins, and you become the person that's in the driver's seat. Definitely. Be a part, you know, be a center part of what's going on with you financially, especially if you've been downsized, and especially if you're having some type of financial hardship, or you're in a relationship with a person who is a little bit more financially free, if you will, with the money. They spend more than you make. If you are one of those persons who have more month than you have money, you definitely need to take advantage of these classes. They will help you repair your credit, and they will also help you with getting into a great budget that fits your particular situation. They'll help you with planning for your financial future. So I encourage all of you all to definitely take advantage of what Secure Your Life has to offer. So that's, again, go to the website. It's SecureYourLife.net. That's SecureYourLife.net. So that's SecureYourLife.net. Ron, you have any last-minute comments or questions about what we talked about this evening or anything that you would like to add?
Okay, well, I did have a question. Okay, in making a prenuptial agreement, part of that would be full financial disclosure.
Right, definitely.
Okay, now, we're going back to this $40,000. Suppose the party, the second part, did not fully disclose, and they're in hock for $40,000. Would this now become the burden of both of them?
I'm not 100% sure. Like I said, you need to contact an attorney on this. But if my memory serves me correctly, what you come in with prior to is yours. So, but I would hasten the other party that does not have the debt. I would hasten them to definitely talk to the other person and say, hey, we have to figure out a way. Now, if you found out after you're married, we have to figure out a way on how you're going to pay this, you know, get this debt down and pay this back.
Mm-hmm.
And it also depends on the length of time. How old is the debt? Because that says a lot, too. Because if the debt is older than 7 years, then that actually can be, if it's not a student loan, that is, or taxes, you know, if the debt is not tax-related or student loan-related, then those things can be removed from your credit report if they're older than 7 years.
Okay, but what happens to the debt itself? Okay, like I was saying, this.
If it's older than 7 years, it has to be removed.
Uh huh. Okay. Oh, you mean they wouldn't know anymore?
No. If it's. Okay, here's the thing. It can't be. Here's a catch to it. It cannot be current debt, which means it can't be something that's revolving. Okay?
Okay.
It can't be revolving. If it's a dead debt, which means they owe this 7 years ago. Say, for instance, 7 years ago from today, you owed Sears, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You owe a seven-year-old debt that has been a charge-off, which means as far as the company is concerned, they charge it off. It's probably been in collections for how many years or whatever, and they are not trying, you know, it's considered a dead debt. It's on your credit report. It's over 7 years old. You can write to the credit bureau and say, hey, this is older than 7 years, and it needs to be removed.
In short, Sears would no longer be expecting to get paid anyway.
No, because they charged
about it.
Right, it's a charge-off.
Uh-huh. Okay, now, what I was making reference to was that, okay, in this prenup scenario for the prenuptial agreement, this person, okay, they're making full financial disclosure. One of the parties has lied, and they've got a debt that they're paying on it, but it's $40,000 in all.
Okay.
And they're paying on it, and they did not disclose this until the spouse did not find out about it until sometime after they were married. So you're
then
saying, hey, you're in violation of the financial disclosure clause in our contract.
Correct, which means that's grounds for dissolution of marriage if you want to take it there.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't want to take it there, then I suggest that you all get with a financial planner, you know, a debt counselor, and figure out a way to fix this.
Mm-hmm.
That would be my suggestion. But we have 1 minute left to show, and I want to encourage you all to tune in next week when we'll have another hot topic on how to get us out of financial debt and securing our financial future. Thank you for listening to Secure Your Life, and I will talk to you next week.
Okay. Good night, Diamond.
Good night.
Big fat master's degree. Scholarships I got. fence.